take a good hold of this as we've been studying about sons of God manifesting. We may go to the key note, key scripture, Romans 8. I want to look at it because I want to keep it to your attention. I told you it had law of devil reference. Talk about the last days, but the sons of God should be manifesting now. Now, I'll give you some insight tonight to change everything in your life. Everything. One, two, three. Everything be changed. All right. But I want you to look at Romans 8 and 19 because it's so important that you know where we're coming from here. It's a golden text for the honest expectation of the creatures waited for what? Well, that was three people. All right, let's get together now. Come on. All right, I'm going to read it, and then you go. For Romans 8, 19, for the honest expectation of the creature, and that's everybody, creatures, sinners, everybody, waited for what?
The manifestation of the sons of God.
Two more times.
The manifestation of the sons of
God. One more time. Now here's where you need to write this. Knowing the mystery of the manifestation of the sons of God. Knowing the mystery. It is a mystery. And the scripture have told us, let me show you this before I go any further. Two specific things about mysteries that when mysteries unfold to us. And I'm going to unfold a mystery tonight. When mysteries are unfolded to us, we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Mystery is a secret, it's a hidden secret. It's a divine insight that is given to us by the Spirit of God to understand how the invisible world works. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says the first verse, let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards or managers or upkeepers of the mysteries of God. You see that? So it says, moreover, it is required in steward that a man be found faithful. And so as we bring to the body of Christ not a denomination but doctrines of the apostolic, that you be a more powerful Christian with the full understanding of the government of God. Amen. Now again, we look in Matthew 13 verses 11 and 12. It tells you something about seeing the invisible and doing the impossible. Seeing the invisible and doing the impossible. And so in his sonship, you got to work in areas where it seemed impossible, but you go on and make it possible. And so here in Matthew, again, Jesus, the great teacher, teaches us the importance of being able to tap, unfold, and embrace mysteries, insights that are not normal. They're not laying on the side of the street. They have to be revealed to you. But once you get into these mysteries, you can live in this world in a different dimension. Amen. Amen? Amen? So notice what he says here in Matthew 13 now, verse 11. And he has to say it unto them, because it is what?
Amen.
To you what?
Amen.
Wow. So as a child of God, it's given to you to know the secret, the insight, the channel, the invisible, the impossible, how to make it happen, right? Talk to me. Whether you know it or not, if you're a child of God, you have a right to know mystery. And he says something here about that. The 11th verse, he says, I don't say to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. So if you don't know how to walk in mystery, you're not going to have abundance. And whatever you have is going to be taken from you by the system. See, our advantage as Christian is to be able to operate on a level where we can't be taken. You didn't hear that? You didn't hear that? See, you're designed to operate on a level that satanic forces can't take you. But you're going to have insight. You're going to have illumination from the Holy Ghost for that to happen. And the Holy Ghost take the word and introduce insight and mysteries to you. The average Christian will never walk in mystery. Everything will be mysterious to them. Now, in knowing the mystery of the manifestation of the sons of God, there are some things that I have to point out to you that I think are outstanding, because it would put it in a category. You'll know where you are and you'll know where you're missing it at. First of all, back to John 1:12. And I want to make a statement. I want you to take three statements down. The first statement is, it is being a son of God is a personal position. It's a personal position, but as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it's a personal position, but only there you're just position. Most Christians live their whole life just position. Position to go to heaven, but they are not functioning as sons now because they don't know how. All right? So the first, it's a personal position. Now, when the Holy Spirit talked to me about you tonight, he says there's something they need to know before they go to inheritance. Because when you're a son of God, a daughter of God, son of God, you have a personal inheritance. But you cannot go, and that's what I think we've made a mistake. As a son, you cannot, see, we believe in God for certain things. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a part that had been missed that I want you to pick up tonight. And if I can, all of your prayers are going to be short because you're going to be praying for somebody else. I'm about to show you a mystery by the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to John chapter 14, John's gospel. And so the second stage of sonship, the first one is, it's a position, right? You're positioned to be a son of God. This second stage of sonship, oh my God, personal assignment. The inheritance cannot take preeminence over the assignment. Oop. And so the church been stuck in the inheritance. What's rightfully mine? This is the confidence of having him to ask anything according to his will. You know, that's proper. But we've skipped the assignment. Jesus had the type of anointing he had, the type of ministry that he had. He stuck with the assignment. No matter what manifestation came in his life, he stuck with the assignment. And what happens, some of us are held back. Listen to me out there. Are held back because we are so inherited minded. We know assignment good. And then if you get the inheritance without the assignment, your ego gonna mess you up. And so as soon as you get tuned in, and I'm about to show you now what Jesus' ministry was so powerful. As soon as you get tuned in to the assignment of sonship, you're gonna be able to stand and you're gonna be able to receive all the inheritance and more beside. I just told you a secret. See, we're positioned as son. When you receive him, you're a son of God. But you can't go straight to the inheritance. And so we see these wonderful scriptures that God had blessed us, and blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, all these blessings, but yet the assignment is gone undone. At large. So if I can get you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church apostolically tonight, that the book of Acts must come in your life and you begin to manifest like the early church. You begin to have God assignment on your agenda before an inheritance. Before you say bless me, you ask the Lord to bless somebody else. You can't do that normally, because it's the bless me club. You can't do that normally. But the Holy Spirit will help me tonight to get you to see these three positions. First of all, you're in position. Secondly, it's a personal assignment God has put out for you. Now look in John 14, and from verse 6 to verse 20 in John 14, just begin to underline Father. When you get tired, take your break and underline some more. I'm going to read in a few moments. But I have Father underlined 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I may have missed some between verses 6 and verse 20. Now, Jesus give us the master key of sonship manifestation in these verses. I wasn't looking in the concordance when he showed me this. The Lord just said, I want you to look at this. And then he told me about the assignment. So to a large degree, sisters and brothers, what have been a hindrance to us is the assignment laying dead and digging up for the inheritance. Once you take a hold of this assignment, you know, how many people you told about Christ today? All day long? My son-in-law asked me to lay a hand on him. He saw me witness to two men. And he said, I didn't even know how to do that. And he was crying. I laid a hand on him. In 2 days, he's gotten four men saved. And he called Shauna crying. See, this is something. The grown man, but it's just, it's something to touch his heart. He said, I'm joining the prison ministry. Yeah, he want to go now. He want to have it. Look at verse 6 now. We're dealing with the assignment. Jesus left a format how to deal with the assignment. Now remember Hebrews 12:9, that the Father is the Father of spirit. So your sonship take on being in 2 Peter chapter 1, lack precious faith, exceeding great and precious promises, and you are partakers of his divine nature. All right? So like Jesus is the pattern son, because you don't need to be anointed with the oil of gladness if you ain't going to do nothing. What you need a scepter for? What you need dominion for if you're not going to do nothing but pray about a car? A new pair of shoes. In which God will put more shoes on you than you can wear if you're walking for him. So let the master teacher, the master son, teach us tonight as he give us insight of what his relationship and how it worked with the Father. What made him such a dynamic son? Which would make you the same way, because you have the same privilege that Jesus had. Wow. You see, religious folk will argue with that because they don't know sonship is sonship. Now notice here in the sixth verse, Jesus said unto him, here's a man who didn't know the way. Well, let's go to the fifth verse. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see that? If ye had known me, you should have known my Father. Now, I've spoken about the Father twice. My Father also, and from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. You see, sonship without a father is not real. You got to have a father. You can't get you. You got a father somewhere. I don't care if I'm a sperm bank or whatever. You got a father. And so in the spirit world, you got a father and he has certain things. I feel the Holy Ghost. He has certain things, but because this the answer. This erase religious spirits, and you'll be able to walk in your covenant and in your kingdom citizenship are sweatless. Sweatless. All right. All right. Now watch what he said. Because Jesus is going to teach him here the application of sonship and what's behind it. So in the seventh verse, you have known me. If you hadn't known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient to us. Jesus said in the ninth verse unto him, have I been so long time with you? Yet had thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Watch now, you're going to get where we our assignment. You're going to have to take notes from here. You're going to have to let the Holy Spirit help you to become a witness for God at all times. No matter what outfit you got on. No matter where you what you're driving. No matter how much money you got in your pocket. All right? Now watch what he says here. In the night goes again. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you? And you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How said thou then, show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father. Here we go. And the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See the works. Underline the works. The works. We're talking about works here. And see, there's a work to be done. Huh? Yes, it's not just a race to be run. There's a work to be done. And I'm telling you now, my spiritual eyes came wide open when the Lord revealed this to me. And I haven't been doing too bad. Amen. But there's more. And the Lord is wanting me to teach you. Once you be about, Jesus said, time for me to be about my Father's business. We attending to all, every business. But the Father business, your business, my business, your everybody business. But the Father business, the Father business, the Father work is so important because it'll open your spirit to a whole new channel of living. Are you following me? And the little beckon bug, y'all know them little beckon bug? They beck their neck, the little black bug. Them little beckon bug y'all dealing with now, you won't have to be dealing with them little bessie bug just pressing you, because the Father's trying to get your attention that you need to be about his business. Not all about your business. Now this is for the church, this is apostolic, this is for the church at large. This will go viral. Because people are looking for the answer. As I teach on the soul, opening the soul up, the personalities of the soul connected with faith, and as I teach you how to be about, Jesus teaching you tonight as a son, how to be about the Father's business. Prioritizing. And it cannot be plural. It's single. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see what I'm saying? You listening to me? This is a maturity class. So when you get in alignment with your assignment, that was first given to the church and to the sons and daughters of God, you're going to see some things. Things that you can't see by prayer. Things that you can't see by meditation. Things that you can't see by memorizing scripture. Because the scriptures and the revelation and anything you see go along with this work. The Father's business. Here he's going to teach you. He's a trainer. Jesus is going to teach you. The 11th verse. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for, here you go, the very works sake. See, this son is declaring his sonship through works, through the Father's business. And then he said in verse 12, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, here we go, The inheritance? No, he didn't say the inheritance. What did he say? The what? Works, plural. That I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. My sonship is based on my works. That's what he's saying. See, I'm leaving a trail of sonship by doing what the Father wants me to do. And then whatsoever you ask my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandment, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless for this work. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, in dealing with that, Jesus told us his man forte was pleasing the Father, doing the work. Now, there's another scripture here in John 14. I went over it with you, but it was become more solid now, because the same Jesus taught us in John 14, 21, how to manifest. How to manifest. How to put first things first. Yeah, in the 21st verse, he that has my commandment and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. You see that? And he that loveth me shall be loved, that is again, of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And manifest myself to him. You see, You see that word manifest? He said, I'd manifest myself unto him. Other words, I will show him exactly what I would do in a situation. Now, in his situation Jesus was in, he always came out victorious. So if I'm in a position as a son for him to manifest to me what he would do, I can get the same results that Jesus did. Now, remember, his priority was the Father's work, not what I can get from the Father. I know y'all ain't going to praise the Lord too much up here tonight, but we got to change this thing, man, because I'm trying to get you somewhere. I'm trying to get you to put first thing first. I see, myself, I am where I am because I did this. My mind was never on nothing else but what the Father wanted, still is. See, toys don't bring me joy like the Father. And you got to get that, because we concerned about toys to a certain extent, but toys are not the priority. Come on now, I'm just trying to get you where you can flow and enjoy your life by putting things in a proper perspective, because the church, through the word of faith, the full gospel, Church of God, we've gotten this material thing and put it in place of manifesting the will of God. You manifest the will of God and everything will show up at your house, park in your yard. Just manifest the will of, and that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. So here he teaches us how to manifest. Now we're back again. It was another boy over there in court, and Judah said to him, the 22nd verse, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? See, that's where we at. We think the world up with us. But they're not. They make us, see, we got to manifest more. Yes, see, the world kind of tendency to think they're equal to us. But they're not. No, we got Jesus, we got the Holy Spirit. But we got to show them some stuff too. We got to get people saved and lay hand on the sick and miracles happen. We got to manifest. Tell the person next to you, you got to manifest. You got to manifest. And when your sonship manifests, manifestations start taking place in your life, like healing, What you believe in God for? So if you go back to what Jesus said, listen to it. I'll use this as a sonship revelation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. And his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Look what he said in John 15:7. You abide in me, my word abide in you. He said, ask what you will and it should be done unto you. It's very simple. It's very simple that my doing must come before your asking. See this now. See it. See it. Oh, Lord, see it. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And he will come unto him. Good God Almighty. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. And the word what you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Now all we're dealing with here now, you know, turn to Romans 8 now. Turn to Romans 8, and this is skip. This is where we'll go to our inheritance. But you got to go to the assignment for it, but I'm going to show you the inheritance now. The aspect of the inheritance. Now your inheritance will come forth more clearer now by teaching you this. Your position. And then the assignment. And then the inheritance. You got it?
Yes,
your position as a son. Then you have the assignment as a son. And then that would make you different. What make you different is the assignment, not the inheritance.
Yes,
see? Because when you have fulfilled the assignment and live in the inheritance, boy, you're on your way then. Because nothing can be taken from you. And you don't have to look to what's going on around you in the system. It doesn't make no difference because you're hooked to an invisible source as a son, manifesting as the sons of God. Now, I'm going to skip ahead of myself. I got back in my notes here. Most of us live in the mode of membership instead of sonship. We have been in the church. A membership mode has been built in the church trying to get to heaven. Sonship know they're going to heaven, but they're going to have a good time down here and bring as many as they can with them. That's what the Father saved you for. You see the difference? So you're going to have to let the Holy Ghost convert your membership into sonship with an assignment. Some people live all their life as a member of so-and-so church. That's it. Never enjoyed the benefit or the dynamics of the Holy Spirit using their hand and using their mind and using everything uniquely as God had made them. Every one of you all are unique. There's somebody not going to listen to the person next to you. But you open your mouth and they're listening to you. I don't know, it's just like that. That's why God got all of you or need all of you all out there. There are people that will listen to you won't even listen to me.
Yeah.
But if you don't say nothing, they can't listen.
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So whether you know it or not, any believer who have any type of maturity in them or growing or want to grow, this message tonight about manifesting sonship changed the whole paradigm from membership to sonship. You can be a member just on the road. But you can't be a son just on the road. Because sonship have a driving force for you to listen to the Holy Ghost and do like Jesus had. See, Jesus said, my Father just keeps stirring me up. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Y'all hearing me? All right, now. In Romans chapter 8, we'll deal a few moments with the inheritance, the third phase of your sonship. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 now. You remember John 1:12? How many of y'all remember what John 1:12 said? Go back and look at it. Some of y'all just got your head down and you don't even know what John 12 is. John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. And read it to me. All right. Now, your position there. Some people stay that in that position all their life. See. But then Jesus taught us about an assignment. He told us how to manifest. And here now the inheritance. Look, compare John 1:12 and Romans 8:14 till you get something. They are not contradictory, but there are some things concealed from the unbeliever. Your sonship cannot manifest without being led by the Spirit. Your sonship, he's the Father, Hebrews 12:9. He's the Father of Spirit. So in order for me to manifest, I have to be able to shift from one realm to another. I lost you. Here he says now, as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. At this point now, this person is manifesting and inheriting. My yoke is easy. My burdens are light. I mean, the reality, the real reality of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the things of God is a revelation. And faith has to be applied. Notice here. Again, verse 15 now. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, the fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Whoa, my. Somebody said, Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit himself, itself is a misprint. The Spirit himself, the Spirit of the person. The Spirit himself bears witness with what? Our spirit, what? Now I submit to you, you look at many translations, the children of God and the sons of God are the same. The children of God should do the same thing as the sons of God. All right? And if children are, if sons, then heir. Heir of God and joint heir with Christ. If so be that you suffer with him, that you may also glorify together. You got that? You seeing that? All right. Knowing the mystery of the manifestation of the sons of God. How many of y'all know you're a son of God? All right. Turn to this scripture now. 1 John chapter 3. Then I'll start giving some more pointers. I got 26 minutes. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold. What manner of love the Father had bestowed on us? What did he say? That we should what? Therefore the world knows us not because they knew him not. So why do you want everybody to get along with you? If you're getting along with everybody, you're definitely not a son of God. If you're getting along with all your family members, you're not a son of God. All your family members just love you. You're probably not a son. It's the truth about the whole matter. Jesus said it. He said, I come to separate. Behold, what manner, now I want you to see this though. What manner of love, it's a love thing. He bestowed that on us that we should be called the sons of God. What a privilege. What a privilege to be called the same thing that Jesus was called. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that lightly. See? Now, to understand that, you got to move from just your membership position. Therefore, the world knows us not because they knew him not. Beloved, verse 2 now. Beloved, what the next word after beloved?
Now.
What the next word? Now. Not later. Now we are the sons of God. Now, in that statement, there is multitude of revelation. Because in that statement, it's telling us in the spirit, we are Jesus' replacement on earth. We are to function just like Jesus. And Jesus said, I want you to do greater stuff than I did. Yeah. What? Yep. Now we the sons of God. Not when we get to heaven. Amen. Right now. How many of y'all want to manifest your sonship? Amen. Well, I tell you what, you got all your inheritance just there. Amen. All right? Now watch. Beloved, now we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, Jesus, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I'm talking to my two of my sons, my two youngest sons. And the Lord is not going to be concerned about where you lived. On your record is what you did for him. Now, I don't want to see y'all up there empty-headed. There's crown for witnessing. And they say, hey, Pastor, I know you're not. You ain't got, get away from me, I know you're not. But you ain't got nothing, you ain't never got nobody saved. You ain't got no crown on your head. Now you want to tell the Lord, I'm your pastor. No. Lord, she was at the church, but I couldn't. Oh, let me say he was at the church, but I couldn't pastor. I taught about sonship. What day is it, 28? 2018, but it's February. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, the third verse, then I'm going to give you some point. And every man that has this hope in him, what? Purify himself, even as he is pure. You know, I believe, I don't know too much of technology, but he got this thing on the phone. He got this app called Friendship. Is Friendship? Find my friend. I think every husband, every wife, or to have that on their phone, you know where she at all the time, he know where you at all the time. I really, God dog it, I believe that. What you got to hide? All my sons that are under me, when I talk with them, all the 12, oh yeah, we're going to do this. You push that button tell you, right, she on Propeller Street. Now, how you like that? You a son or what? You got something to hide? See, take this technology and use it for the glory of God. Help you to keep yourself straight. Children of God, or as son of God, we are to manifest and demonstrate our inheritance now. Sonship is a love transfer. Yeah. Right, once you get it, receive it. Now, 1 John 2, a lot of scripture tonight. To operate as a son of God, it will take a sonship anointing. A sonship ability. From the Holy Ghost. Because sonship is a spiritual operation. Even though our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, he used our bodies, but it's actually a spirit that is meant led by the Spirit of God. And so here in 1 John 2 and 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One. What else is it? See, there's some things you're going to have to know out of the ordinary to operate as a son of God. You're going to have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discerning the spirit. You witness to a person And you need to let the Spirit of God show you what button to push. And then verse 27 of 1 John 2. Sonship, it will take a sonship anointing. Because your sonship is a spiritual action. It's in the spirit. It manifests in the flesh, but it's in the spirit. But the anointing which you have received from him abideth in you. See that? And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true and is no lie. And even as hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. See, that's a teaching anointing. You got to have that wisdom and understanding. Now, Isaiah 10:27, the Lord, the Holy Ghost called that up. Isaiah 10:27. If you're going to be a son, you got to know how to remove burden and how to destroy yokes. See, approaching people, one of the dynamics I found out, don't ask them if they're a Christian. Don't ask them if they've been baptized. Ask them, had you been born again? Okay. And then I'm going to get my girls to copy some of these more, these pamphlets about the new birth and about baptizing with the Holy Ghost. You're in need of healing. Because there's a different approach. Sometimes I approach a person and I say, you need anything, me to pray about anything? And they'll say they have some kind of disease or something. I'll start praying about that. And then I may go further and ask them, are they born again? See, a different way. You see. Then if a person tells you, yeah, I'm born again, well, you got the other pamphlet now. Or you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you can explain that to them. So you're helping people. And you're releasing your sonship and you're rising above your membership. So there in Isaiah 10:27, you made that note? It also will take abiding in the word and the word abiding in you, sonship. You know, we just read John 15:7. And then there is two powerful scriptures that a son must operate in. John 6:63 and Romans 8:2. John 6:63 and Romans 8:2. Sons and daughters must know about these two scriptures, because in order to operate in sonship, you have to operate in the spirit and life. And that spirit and life, is John 6:63, is in the word. Then there's a law in Romans 8:2. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. So you got to operate in those two in order to operate in sonship. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're not interested in sonship, you're not saved. I just want to tell you that. You're a hustler. You're trying to hustle God. And you can't hustle him. Because he saw you when you was coming. Now, in order to operate in sonship, this type of sonship, and know the secrets of sonship, you must constantly be operated on by Hebrews 4:12. Constantly, your mind, your personality of your soul, your conscience, your thought, your will, your desire, your imagination, those are personalities of your soul. They must be operated upon. And Hebrews 4:12 said the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword. Piercing even to the divide of soul and spirit. See, they have to be divided in order for them to operate right.
Yes, sir.
And so you're not going to operate as a son of God if the word of God is not dividing you rightly. You're going to do this, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I wrote this down. Love exposes the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. You need to have that. 1 John 5:4. Son must keep in mind the great truth that faith make them overcomers of everything. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Nothing works in the spirit world without faith. You know what Hebrews 11:6 says, right? I said, you know what Hebrews 11:6 says? Look, turn it, look at it. Without faith, He that cometh to God must believe that, first of all, that he is. Secondly, that he's a rewarder. Thirdly, of them that didn't seek him. Whoa. He is. He's a rewarder. Now, diligently seeking God is a sonship term. It's not seeking God for what you want. It's seeking God for who he is. And he'll give you what you want. You get to the point that your prayers for other people. So manifestation, we found out in John 14, 21 through 23, that manifestation, sonship manifestation, is a love transaction. He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a love transaction. All right? Stick with me here. All right, Paul reveals the ingredients it takes for sons to manifest. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, there are some divine ingredients on sonship manifestation. Read it, and it's so vivid, you're not going to have no problem understanding. Sonship is based on precious faith, I told you that, exceeding great and precious promises, and being partakers of God's divine grace, which is his nature. That's 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. I want you to get that. I'm moving now. Sonship manifestation is the greater one doing the greater work through you. That's 1 John 4, 4. Turn there. 1 John 4, 4 and John 14, 12. Connect the two. You have overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then you go to John 14, 12. It talks about doing the greater work. See, it takes the greater one in you to do the greater work. But the greater one is in you. Almost true. So Jesus teaches us the lesson on the mystery of manifestation there. Now I'm about to make a statement. Well, this is not a statement I said, but this is a good one too. Yeah, this is a good one. It'll floor you, but it's a good one. They're going to knock you out your seat, but it's a good one. The key to sonship manifestation is not receiving, but the key is releasing on behalf of the Father. Let me get it again now. See. The key to sonship manifestation is not receiving, but the key is releasing on behalf of the Father. My. I know that one. Yeah, soak that one. Because I'm going to get another. Here come another soaker. If you release properly, all receiving will be at your command. See, if you put first things first. For some way, somehow, of all this teaching and technology, at large, the church have left our first love. You follow what I'm saying? And we as believers got to get back and put first things first and love him more than anything he can give you. See? But it is if you're not releasing, how you expect to receive? If you're not taking care of the assignment, how can you proclaim that you have an inheritance? You see my point? Now, prayer and desire and dreams, all can be answered here. With the lesson I'm teaching you tonight, I mean, you can come off the battlefield for the Lord. Because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord. If you in the right place doing the right thing. Come on, class. Y'all, we say this is a maturing class. You should mature here tonight. I want you to mature. Understand that this sonship thing is not a plaything. You got to be releasing the will of God. Amen. I said, here I got most believers are in the membership mode and never known how to turn the sonship on. Here's the real sons in manifestation. Look at Philippians 2:13. Powerful voice. I always did love that voice. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you. What are you working? Both to will and do of his good pleasure. What do you think the greatest thing will God want you to do? Witness. Witness, work, way, word, will. They're all in a whooping. What manner of son are you? Are you really returning the father's love back to him? Huh? If to manifest as a true son, you must know how to max out your love for God. And love your neighbor enough to witness about what happened to you. If Satan can stop you from becoming a son, if Satan can't stop you from becoming a son, his job is to keep us from manifesting. See, you accepted Jesus, so he couldn't stop you. But now he's going to stalemate you, put you in a church where you're not going to get insight to know that God called you to go. Not to this pulpit. He called me to this pulpit. You go ye in all the world. You don't know how many pulpit I had for this pulpit. At the rest home, prison, side the street, home Bible study, everybody I can get my hand on for years. I ain't asked for this. I was manifested. And God gave it to me. Now Hebrews tells about Jesus, the first chapter, about Jesus being the pattern son. But I wrote this down. Being anointed with the oil of gladness and having the scepter of the kingdom at your disposal, God is expecting you to carry out his assignment all the time. You don't need to be anointed. You don't need no scepter. And you look at it and you'll find it in Hebrews 1. Now, quickly, in Acts 9, verse 6, as soon as Paul became a son, his first question was, what would I have me to do? How many times you've asked that question? You already know what you're going to do. You done prayed and told God what he's going to do and what street y'all going on and what you're going to buy when you get there. No. Lord, what will you have me do? See, if you wake up, you ask that question. Lord, the first thing the Lord said, I want you to witness. I want you to win somebody to Christ today. I want you to help somebody with what you know. You, all that revelation you got in you, you ain't told nobody nothing. See? And so we're getting up out of here. And we're going to be alert and aware. And don't, there's going to be resistance. But don't worry about resistance. There are going to be people going to turn you down. What? Keep going. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. There's a spiritual law happening in Luke chapter 5. There, Luke chapter 5 is another way for sons to manifest. There in the fifth verse, and Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Luke 5:5. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, the sixth verse is something that your inheritance now coming to you. Listen to me. And when they had this done. When you be like Jesus and be busy about the Father's business, then your ship gonna sink. And when they had this done, what the scripture said? Y'all there? They enclosed what? Now he said in the fifth voice what he's gonna do, but nothing manifest. He said what he's gonna do, but until he did it, y'all better see that, nothing came forth. Amen. Now here's a biggie. I'm almost about to close. We talk about, Lord, what will you have me to do? You talk about Jesus' mother said in John 2:5, whatever he says till you do it, right? But here, all those lead to the biggie in Psalm 1. It shows you that when you protect your sonship, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor, this is the one I want, nor standeth in the way of sinners. How many sinners, not by ungodly life, by a quiet life, how many sinners that you have let cross your path and didn't listen to the Holy Spirit that you should tell them something? Many times the last blessing God placed on your life is for a witness. And the other blessing is waiting till you use this blessing properly. Whatever, whatsoever you do is shall prosper after the assignment is fulfilled. Write it down. Write it down. I want y'all to remember that. Whatsoever you do, it shall prosper after the assignment is fulfilled. Now, I don't know how many years it has been, whatsoever I do prosper. I just prosper all the time. But I'm fulfilling the assignment. By grace of God, I want to walk in purity. You know, this is utopia here, but you know, a woman stand up here and say, I'm going with her, she'll drop dead on the spot because she's a lying dog. Yeah, she lying. I'll tell you lying before she says she's a liar. See, so if you fix yourself to do God's will, there are a lot of things you don't have to ask for. Listen to me, children. Listen to me. Listen to your man of God tonight. Start witnessing. Start going ye. Start asking the Lord when you get up in the morning, no matter where you're going. I don't care if you're going to the supermarket, the beauty salon. I don't care if you're going to the barbershop. God is going to cross somebody across your path. Don't talk about how shy you are. You're not shy to ask for what you want. I'm telling y'all, this is a divine secret that will change your life. Manifesting the assignment will release the manifestation of your inheritance. Got it? Three. Personal position. Right? What's the next one? I can't hear the rest of y'all. Then what? Personal inheritance. And what I've said to you tonight in the manifestation of the sonship is a mystery that we here in this study and those people around the world who study with us, this is a secret, this is a revelation to you tonight that start manifesting that assignment. Yes, sir. I receive your seed. How many of y'all know how much this check is? Half hour and 12 out. All right, class. I want you to work it. Work on this. Those three, I want you to think about those three positions of sonship. And we got to get on John 14 aspect of it, just like Jesus did, that we want to do the works and the greater works. And he gave us a partner. His name is Holy Spirit. And he will help you witness, and he will help you. And you have not, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You never have experienced the joy in the Holy Ghost as you can experience it until you witness to somebody and they cross that line. Oh my God, I remember the first time I did it, hundreds and hundreds back behind. I remember when I first did it. The preacher said, yeah, I accept it. I said, let's pray. I want you to understand that. That's what the Father, in these last days we're living in, the Father apostolically is bringing his government back to his church, days of heaven on earth, but he's bringing his assignment back to the people who really love him. He needs you to go. And as your pastor, I'm commissioning you tonight to go and testify and win people to Christ. Compel them to come to hear the word of God. Compel them to get baptized and be a part of the body of Christ. You'll never know how much God will use you. And if God have another assignment for you, he's going to open it up for you. All right? All right. Praise God. Praise God.